If you needed any proof that Peter's escape was a miracle, there it was the very next morning, because the soldiers were scrambling to figure out what exactly had happened. Where did Peter go? After all, he had been chained between two soldiers, and there were more soldiers watching the gate. He can't have just disappeared, but he was no longer there. To them, of course, it was a great mystery. But to us, it is perfectly clear. God had delivered his servant Peter out of the hands of his enemies, because nothing can stop the power of God, and nothing can prevent him from carrying out his will. And to show us why we also can trust in the Lord just like Peter, Luke goes on to tell us what happened afterward. Herod Agrippa, the grandson of Herod the Great, whom I'm again going to call just Agrippa, first put the soldiers to death. In his mind, the only possible explanation was they had probably fallen asleep. They were negligent in their duties, and there was no other possible reason that he could think of. But of course, he had more troubles he had to deal with. And he went down to the city of Caesarea to deal with problems with the cities of Tyre and Sidon. He was angry with them. Luke doesn't tell us exactly why, but if I had to guess, it was probably because Tyre and Sidon were used to having their own way with things. They were the kind of places that weren't used to being told what to do. After all, Tyre and Sidon both had been very important cities in the time of the Old Testament. And Tyre was an island fortress that had stood against all of its enemies for centuries until it was finally conquered by Alexander the Great. They were cities that were used to doing what they wanted. And they must have done something Agrippa didn't like. But he did the only thing that he probably could do in this situation. He cut off their food supply. Tyre had always been dependent on the mainland because it was an island, and Sidon probably was in an area that had trouble supporting itself or at least meeting all of its needs. But at any rate, it worked. Tyre and Sidon both wanted to make up to the king. They were ready to bend the knee and to give in to Agrippa. But Agrippa didn't just want to force them to submit. He also wanted to impress them. So he gathered all of the people together in order to put on a show. He was going to dazzle them so that they would know who was actually in charge. Josephus, who was a Jewish author who lived at basically the same time period and who wrote about many things that happened outside of the New Testament, tells us a little bit more of what happened on that day. Josephus tells us that Agrippa dressed in clothes made of silver, and that he sat on his throne as the morning sun was just starting to rise, so that as the sun was coming up and as the light was beginning to shine in, his clothes would sparkle and shine. I'm sure it was a very impressive sight indeed. And Luke tells us that he also gave a speech at that time too, trying to persuade them to listen to him, probably showing them how good and how benevolent of a king he actually was. But Luke tells us that it worked. The crowd was not only persuaded, they also began to think of him as being something more than human. As Luke says in verse 22, "And the people were shouting, 'The voice of a god and not of a man.'" Now you have to understand that flattery like this was actually really common in those days. Pagans tended to treat their kings as being something more than human. The Roman emperors, for example, were often thought of as being the descendants of gods, Julius Caesar claimed to be descended from the goddess Venus. The Egyptians thought of Pharaoh as being Horus in the flesh, and they thought of him as being Osiris after he died. Pharaoh was actually a god. And even the Greeks sometimes treated people as being something like supermen, the heroes of old, who weren't exactly gods, but they were worshipped like gods after their death. So yeah, this sort of flattery was actually very common. But Agrippa really should have known better. After all, like the rest of his family, he claimed to follow after God. He claimed to believe in the Lord. He claimed to walk in his ways. Paul will later say to his son in the book of Acts, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." He should have known better. So Agrippa should have rebuked them. Agrippa should have told them that he wasn't actually a god. He should have said that he was no more than a man. But he didn't do it. He let it go on. And frankly, he liked it. He liked being called something more than human. And he began to think of himself as actually being God. But honestly, that was just the last step in all that he had been doing up to this point, fighting against God. Because it had started all the way back with the death of James. He put James to death just to please the Jews, contrary to the will of God. And then he went on to want to do the same thing to Peter, simply because he wanted to be popular. And that went on from there when he put the soldiers to death because he couldn't see any other possible explanation when it was clear as day that God was at work here. But he didn't want to admit that. And it finally bore fruit on that day when he believed himself to be a god and not a man. And he went right along with the crowd. At every step, he had been fighting against God, and he had been causing problems for God's people because of it. But God doesn't let it go any farther. We're told in verse 23, "Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last." Agrippa's death was a painful one which involved parasites. But I'm not going to go into any kind of detail. Luke doesn't feel a need to, and so I'm not going to either. But what is clear in all of this, Christians, is that this death was a judgment for his sin. God did not let his evil go unpunished. And God did not only strike him down because he thought of himself as being God. God also struck him down on that day for everything that he had done to God's people. God struck him down for the sake of James, whom he killed. God struck him down for the sake of Peter, who had suffered greatly at his hands. God struck him down for the sake of others who are not mentioned by name. God gave all of them justice against their enemy, because God is faithful to his own people, and he will answer them in the day of trouble. That's why we can trust him, Christians. God not only supports us, God not only cares for us in the day of trouble, God also knows our troubles, and he will do something about them. God will set everything right. It's like Paul says in Romans chapter 12, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. There's no need for us to take revenge. There is no need for us to get even. Because God is going to make all things right on his own. God will pour out his wrath on evil and deliver us. He may do it now, just like he did when he delivered Peter out of his prison. Or he may do it at the end of days when he will set all things right. But either way, Christians, God will not let evil go unpunished. His justice will be perfect and complete. Because he will set free, like Peter, those who trust in him. And he will strike down those like Agrippa who fight against him. And it will be all for the sake of his people. Not one saint will suffer in vain. Even the very least in Christ will be avenged by the Lord. But the best thing about knowing this, Christians, about knowing that God will repay all things, is that it enables us to face all of our troubles patiently. So that, as Paul says, we can face evil and repay evil not with more evil, but with good. Knowing that God will deal with all things will enable us to calmly face all of our troubles without fear, even as the world is fearful around us. Knowing that God will take care of all things will enable us to give food to an enemy rather than trying to get even. Knowing that God will take care of all things will enable us to give drink to one who hates us rather than just giving them the same thing in return. And knowing that God will take care of all things will enable us to pray for those who persecute us, even asking God to forgive them and to open their eyes so that they too would come to know the love of God in his Son, and that we would be brothers in the Lord. Yes, Christians, we can do all of these things because we know that all things are in God's hands and that he will always do what is right. If it is his will to bring down judgment, then he will do what is best. If it's his will to bring them to faith, then he will do what is best. Because evil will always give way to good. Because our God is good, and his ways are always best. Let us therefore take courage, Christians. Let us face all things with confidence. Let us know that no matter what troubles we are going through, no matter what we suffer for the sake of the kingdom of God, it will not go on forever. Because our Father knows all of our troubles, and he will do something about them. Trust in him who has given his Son for you, because he will never let the righteous fall. Let us pray. Lord God, Almighty Father, who will give justice to your people and deliver those who trust in you, make us confident in the day of trouble through your Son, knowing that all our ways are safe in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.